Social Blend is in partnership with Goalie Gummies. It's simple, it's delicious, it's Goalie. Hey everyone, and welcome to an all new episode of Social Blend. I feel like the past few episodes, I've really been messing up that woo. So, whatever. Today we have a great episode with therapist Maria Spada. She is from Central New Jersey and a very close family friend. So I am so excited to talk to her today. We talked about everything from inner happiness, and that was a great fun topic to talk about, especially, you know, listening to each other's views of what inner happiness is. And also another great thing was we talked about finding a therapist near you, finding the right therapist, what to look out for when looking for a therapist. So it's truly a great educational episode regarding not only mental health, but regarding things that we need to talk about in this society, especially, and in today's world. Also, you know, we get an in-depth of Maria Spada and how she got into therapy, what, you know, kind of therapy she does, and it was a great episode. If you want to know her place, it is Awakened Path Counseling, and it is in Central New Jersey. In the description below, you will get everything you need. So without further ado, without me talking forever about this, here is a great, great new episode. Today, I'm here with Maria Spada, who is the founder, director, and leader psychotherapist at Awakened Path Counseling in Monmouth Junction, New Jersey. She is inspired and driven to honor in her practice where integrative treatment is not limited to incorporating nutrition, neuroscience, education, meditation, behavioral therapy, and mindful practice. So Maria, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm so excited to talk to you about everything from inner happiness, which is a topic we will be talking about today, to finding a therapist near you.
I am super excited to be here too, George. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Now, first, let's start with an introduction about yourself. So give us everything you got.
Okay. With regard to professionally, personally, what are you thinking?
Let's start professionally.
Okay. So, I'm a licensed professional counselor, or other people can refer to that as a psychotherapist. I'm the, as you mentioned, the founder of Awakened Path Counseling, and we have been in active business for a little over 2 years now, which has been a really amazing experience. And I just look forward to sharing more with you about the questions that you have.
Yes, I'm so excited. Now, what got you into therapy?
So I had to think about this one for a little bit, but since I was a child, as an empath, I've always been sensitive to the energetic output of people's emotions, and especially their pain. I was naturally inclined to help ease suffering for humans and animals alike. And, you know, initially, before I understood this, I think it was because I was feeling their experience too. Mm-hmm. And so I quickly learned that I was effective at helping somehow shift that experience for whether it was an animal or a person or a little friend. So, of course, at the time, I didn't understand what all of that meant. And I could say even until the past 7 years or so, I have just come to understand what it means to be highly sensitive in that way. Right. So I think therapy chose me. I've had success in other industries such as hospitality, banking, other entrepreneurial endeavors and never felt fulfilled until I enrolled in graduate school and started this journey in the field of mental and emotional health.
I love that. And you come off as such a healer.
I do.
Like, yes, 100%.
Well, I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. Everyone I know, and we talked about this,
yeah,
they love how I talk about, you know, mental health and, you know, kind of these important things that we need to speak about. And with this pandemic, a lot more people need someone to talk to than ever. So, sure. Now when I was looking into your website for your practice, you brought up one thing. You said you like mentioned a bunch of scenarios, and then you said a great thing about how you could be your own healer. Now, what does that mean, like being your own healer? Because I know what that means to me, but I love that so much because I feel like not a lot of therapists go that route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a good analogy for you, I think. One of the very talented therapists at my practice, his name is David White. The analogy he gave one day regarding our approach to therapy was something along the lines of, you know, if you get cut, over the course of time, what happens? What happens?
It heals.
It heals, right? Because this is how we're built, right? We are designed to heal. So given the right conditions, we become whole again. And it's no different when it comes to mental health. So the first thing we acknowledge and build upon in our practice is the mind-body connection. So these bodies or these skin suits, as I like to call them, that we walk around in are designed to operate at full capacity so long as it has what it needs. So I'll give you another analogy. Would you put diesel fuel in a Mini Cooper and expect it to run well?
No.
No, right. And I'm sure most people can understand that even if you're not a car person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm not a car person. I totally got it. So
yes, exactly. I use the Mini Cooper reference because I used to have one a long time ago. So so with that being said, we make some serious demands of our brain on any given day. And it's also the part of the body that allows us to have an emotional experience. So like the other organs in your body, your brain will not function at ultimate capacity if it's not given certain nutrients, rest, hydration, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So on a very basic level, how can we expect this complex machine to function in a way that then elicits a positive emotional experience if those core factors are being neglected? Mm-hmm. So kind of that's the starting point here, right?
Yeah.
So we start with, you know, the assessment and get through an understanding of what is their starting point with these basic things first. And then we also assess for what they're ingesting in other ways, right? Like, what are they taking in on social media? What are the types of things that you're following? What type of relationships are you entertaining? Do they make you feel good or do they make you feel disempowered? What's your work situation like? You know, what kind of job do you have? How much are you watching the news? So all of that is things that you're ingesting, things that are impacting you. And so in a lot of ways, George, you know, in our practice, we function as, you know, teachers and mentors in this healing process that empowers clients to reconnect with the strengths that are already within them. So, and we all have them. So over the course of our lives, social programming and other environmental factors often create a disconnect from that power. So what we do is we gently help our clients reconnect with that ability. So we use evidence-based practices supported by the latest neuroscience findings that clearly show that human brain is plastic, right? Meaning that it is constantly evolving and changing.
Right.
Therefore, allowing people to change their entire life experience. So we teach clients how to access this, right? Through different practices such as CBT, or what's also referred to as cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, mindset training, narrative therapy, and many others, depending on what fits the client. So, you know, it's a capacity that really we all have. And if given the tools and the path, we can all change our entire experience. We see it happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, that's like one of the things where I use myself as an example, but through the years, I mean, as you know, teenager, we're so forced to look into what other people are doing. And like you said, the news, we see it all the time. And what are people going to think about me? Or what are people going to, you know, how are they looking at me a different way than I see myself? And I love that so much, to heal yourself with the tools, of course. But my number one thing is I always just say, stop caring and cancel the noise around you. And people really need to focus on themselves. And I mean, that's one of the things we're going to talk about, inner happiness today.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you brought that up, because, you know, when someone says, you know, well, stop caring about the noise around you. In translation, to me, that means quiet the outside so you can listen to the inside and identify what your truth is, right? Because if we continue to live life through comparison, you're not going to be able to clearly connect with those needs that are going to allow you to function optimally at full capacity.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. All right. So next, I wanted to talk about your views on medication.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if they're the same, but I want you to go first. I think I think they are, but
In terms of
just like in therapy, finding now, I always saw on TV a therapist sitting down with a pen. Okay, here's your prescription, and it's like you didn't even talk about the situations. What got this person to this point?
Yes.
Why are you throwing medication? Do you really know, like, what, like, is that what they need? So I believe in medication if it's needed to help a situation. So
I think that, you know, while, you know, at our practice it's not our focus, it doesn't mean that there's not a place for it for some people. I think it can be really helpful in many scenarios for many people, and it is always the person's sole right to decide to take that path. You know, while that might not be our philosophy as a first step in the way that you're describing in the commercial that you saw, you know, if a client wants to go that route, then that's always their right. However, it is my opinion that psychiatric medication is overprescribed and under-monitored in the United States. So meaning that there are many people consuming psychiatric medication with little or no benefit in the absence of psychotherapy, the way that you're describing. So there are physiological implications for ingesting a chemical for so many years that your liver has to process, but you're not necessarily benefiting from it either. Right. So there's the long-term consequences of that as well. So if you are a person, and I'm talking to all of your listeners, because I'm sure that, you know, there is a very high percentage of Americans that are taking antidepressants.
Definitely.
And so if you are that person that's on psychiatric medication, You should be under the care of a psychiatrist who is specialized in this class of drugs and monitoring you regularly. Your primary care physician is not a specialist in this area. I believe that medication should be a last resort once all other factors, including nutrition, environment, relationships, and the whole person is treated, right? And that's, you know, well, and that's where my opinion comes in as the, you know, the holistic philosophy foundation is kind of the driving force. But, and not all, but, you know, I can tell you, George, that when I was in graduate school or, you know, I had my very early experiences in the mental health field, it was very much something that went hand in hand. You know, I worked at a large, well-known hospital in Union County. And there, you know, when you were receiving therapy, you were automatically meeting with a psychiatrist and automatically being prescribed medication. There was no alternative. And the other thing that I would mention, and, you know, that I'm not qualified to have an in-depth conversation about, is that there are many strides being made in plant-based medicines as well. A good resource there is, was actually a colleague of mine who founded psychedelicstoday.com.
Okay.
And that, you know, is another alternative that nothing is legal in the U.S., so I'll preface it with that. but, you know, it may very well be the solution that we're looking for that is effective and that doesn't have the harmful effects that these other synthetic medications do on the body.
It is that kind of thing that, like, it ruins people. I mean, if like you said, if they are monitored, then a lot of the times they are okay. But for people that just abuse it for years and years, and then later their livers are destroyed or their mental state is just, they're not there anymore. And it's insane.
And sometimes, and sometimes, unfortunately, depending on the class of drugs that they're being prescribed, there's addiction sometimes. Yep. You know, while they've really started regulating that and they've diminished, you know, the incidence of that happening and preventing it, the other most important component of this is we want people to really feel better. And if medication is not doing that on its own, then we're missing something here. Yep. And that's, you know, one of the primary inspirations for founding a more holistic view and approach to treatment, where, you know, studies have been done and shown that, you know, in different, you know, settings where, let's say, you have a control group that's just getting medication, a group that's just getting therapy, and a group that is getting medication and therapy, studies will show that people in the second and third group do equally as well. So people in therapy without meds and people in therapy with meds both show progress, whereas people on solely on medication, the absence of psychotherapy, don't show long-standing healing, as I would describe it. So, so it's really interesting stuff. And I think, you know, based on what we're seeing, I think people are becoming more and more educated. But it
is especially my generation. I definitely see my generation definitely educating themselves. But I mean, the whole mental health part of it is definitely more like talkable nowadays. That's a word, than it used to be.
For sure. It's not as stigmatized. It's not as taboo. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, when I was your age, it was really hard to even, you couldn't even get a therapist because it wasn't covered by insurance. And so that's, so that was about, I guess, 20 years ago. I don't know how much older I am than you now, George, but, but yeah, it's a serious issue. And, and this is why there is so much power in supplements and nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a huge market.
You know, I'll give you just a quick little anecdotal thing to think about. You know, oftentimes people are there's like these popular diagnoses and medications that go along with it, right? One of them being bipolar disorder. And I can tell you that there have been studies that have shown that hypoglycemia, which is a glucose processing issue, right, within the body, which results in fatigue and mood fluctuation. So that has often been misdiagnosed as bipolar disorder, because our medical model is not designed to look at the whole person, right? It's looking at the person, oh, this person's having mood swings and they're tired and then they're hyper, and well, that must be bipolar disorder. And so now you have a person who's hypoglycemic, not being treated for the hypoglycemia, but instead being treated for bipolar disorder and ingesting these drugs that they don't actually need, and moreover, impacting the chemistry of their brain.
Wow.
And so this is the imperativeness of shifting away from solely looking at medication as a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. It's eye-opening. Mercari. We need to speak about it. Mercari is the fastest and easiest way to buy and sell almost anything. Now, I use Mercari as my marketplace, and I want it to be yours too. So if you click the link in the description below, I will give you $30 to spend on Mercari. I buy on Mercari and I sell on Mercari, and I have nothing but good things to say about this company. The app is easy to use, and the items, if you are selling an item, it takes minutes to post it up. I love Mercari, and I know you will too. So go ahead and click the link in the description below for $30 to spend on Mercari. Again, $30 to spend on Mercari. If you click the link in the description below, you will not regret this. All right, so next what we're going to talk about is our main topic today, and that is inner happiness. So my first question is, what is inner happiness?
That's a really great question. And that would actually be the first thing that I would say is, you know, we really need to define what that is for the individual. Right. So, you know, happiness is it's a subjective experience. It's not one that can be defined and then generalized, right? Like, right. It's not like, you know, and then the biggest component there is that, you know, I think we need to refrain from looking at happiness as if it's a destination that we're going to come to, right?
Yep.
So, in my view, the human condition is one where we are meant to experience waves of emotion, and the contrast of those emotions allows us to feel all of them fully. It's the human experience is what we're here to do, right? So,
right.
You know, we talk about feeling happy. Would we really know what feeling happy feels like if we never felt sad?
That's true.
Or if we never felt upset, right? Like if we had this one, or even the range of emotions was just two emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I imagine we get pretty bored pretty quickly. But
yeah,
I wouldn't know that because that's not the planet that we live on, right?
Yeah.
So with that, I would say that, you know, inner happiness is more connected to a state of being where you're able to embrace the flow of emotions with compassion and acceptance, and also the standing recognition that all emotional states are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. So when we allow ourselves to acknowledge our emotions as they are seen and heard you know, almost as if they're like a separate entity from you, right? Like you're feeling upset or sad about something and you just give yourself that moment to say, yeah, I'm pretty sad right now about whatever it is that I'm experiencing. And you really acknowledge it and kind of give it the air to breathe. And we experience it fully in that way. And in that way, you're able to move on. And the thing with emotions is they have a life of their own. And, you know, I say this to clients all the time. So even when we think we're, you know, protecting ourselves from experiencing an emotion by suppressing it, or, you know, I don't want to deal with that right now, or, you know, whatever we do to move past the emotion, in effect, actually just shoves it somewhere. Right. And, you know, what does that look like? Well, it looks different for everyone, right? You know, suppressed emotions can be expressed in a somatic way, like we describe, which somatic means through the body somehow. And that could mean, you know, maybe you get sick with something, or maybe you have an autoimmune disorder, or maybe you have chronic migraines, or because it all has an energetic component to it. So there is no getting rid of it. There is a, you can flow through it with it, or you can let it get stuck.
And that's something I say to like my siblings all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, express your anger, do something. Cause like when I get mad, I need to just throw something, and that's it. Instead of, you know, touching someone, I have to grab something and just throw it. And even if it's a pillow, a pen, a stuffed animal, it's just, I rather just get it out real quick than having it in my body, because it's just, you gotta get rid of it.
Than allowing it to fester.
Yeah.
And I would take that even a step farther, right? Cause you know, you're releasing frustration, and I know we're not talking about anger here, but the clever thing about anger is that, and I guess this is important to know, because if we're looking at it as the opposite emotion of happiness, maybe, or one of the opposite emotions of happiness, you know, anger is the overarching kind of umbrella emotion that we feel most comfortable expressing. But really what it's fueled by is disappointment, resentment, feelings of rejection. I don't know if I said frustration, you know, many unpleasant things that, you know, anger is somehow this safer way for us to express it. Right.
So, yeah.
So we can take, you know, your need to throw something even like a step farther, where it's like, okay, so what am I actually feeling with this anger? You know? Am I being frustrated that I'm not being heard, or, you know, whatever that is. And so in that way, you really allow yourself to move through it and then move on to a higher state,
right?
Like being content, or, you know, being what maybe someone would call happy. And so, you know, and that's the inner happiness component. But, you know, when we say, you know, we also are humans having a human experience, right?
Well, that's one thing. Yeah. That's one thing I want with inner happiness. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we have to be happy all the time inside, and that's it. It's just kind of that thing where it's like, we go through these emotions, but with inner happiness, I feel like it's such a different aspect to it. It's such a wider topic of like, finding that happiness and keeping that happiness, even if you're angry at times or upset at times, it's always going to happen.
Right. So you're saying like that baseline level of being content and at peace and and I agree with you. You know, I think that's a version of what inner happiness looks like, you know, and I do think that that is very much defined by the person. And it connects to what you were saying earlier about, you know, quiet the noise. And then I added, you know, I added in like finding your truth. Right. And so, you know, I think it deserves some exploration. And, you know, I think we're also programmed to define happiness externally, right? So like I got this job and I bought this car and I got this significant other and the house, we're from New Jersey, so yeah. It's very much about keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes, yeah.
Culture here, right? So
yeah.
And so I think when we're defining quote unquote happiness in this way, it's independent of those things, right? Mm-hmm. So like all those things could disappear,
yep.
Which we, you know, which in the Buddhist philosophy would be described as attachments,
mm-hmm.
And you'd still be content.
Yes.
With your life, you know,
yep.
And that takes time and intention, but it is 100% achievable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Now, what are some tools that are needed to find inner happiness? Now, mm-hmm. I wrote a few down.
I think
we talked about, it's find your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like what is your purpose in life?
Mm-hmm.
Another one I have down is there's no such thing as perfection.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. And then another one is surround yourself with happy people. And happy meaning in the moment. Like I feel like people don't live in the moment. They're very attached to their phones, which is fine. I am attached to my phone. I love my phone. But sometimes we need that like moment of now. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people, if they just got that part down,
mm-hmm.
that would be such a huge step.
Yeah.
We talked about with like, you know, looking at what other people are doing or, you know, social media, the news, blah, 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 and all that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And so what you're describing is the process of being present, which is a lot of what's done in mindfulness work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mindfulness techniques. Right. And so,
yeah.
There's plenty of material out there with regard to how to be more mindful, how to be more present, you know, how to not, you know, be so distracted by screen time. You know, excessive screen time is actually a huge addiction problem in this country. And there are neurological effects to excessive screen time. So yeah, there's a lot to be said about that too. And it can be its own topic really. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then you mentioned find your purpose and then you mentioned,
Yeah. There's no such thing as perfection, which I love. I love that one.
There is no such thing as perfection because the idea of it is also subjective, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's defined by the individual. And so I think, you know, seeking perfection also puts us in a position to get really caught up in like the very little details.
Mm-hmm.
And so also setting ourselves up for a negative experience, right? Because there's so many things that in any scenario are really outside of our control.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to create something perfect, whatever it is, the smallest thing.
Yep.
I guarantee you that there are about an infinite number of things that could get in the way of that thing being perfect. And so, yeah, it creates kind of like this obsessive focus and takes away from maybe the pleasure that you would be experiencing in creating something. And so what I would add too, when we're talking about tools, so, you know, and I do think that oftentimes, you know, the things that you're describing, I mean, these are not simple things, right? Find your purpose, you know, get used to not seeking perfection. I mean, that's really hard for the perfectionist, right?
Mm-hmm.
To really let go of that. That's a really hard and hefty task, right?
Yep.
And so these things are yes, they are components of it, but they are also journeys within themselves, right? Like how to reach these things. And you know, and these are the reasons why we work with a coach or we work with a therapist. You know, therapy isn't just for the person who is mentally ill. We have come so far from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
We have people come in for a large variety of reasons. Some come in to, you know, work on a past trauma. Other people come in for existential reasons, like what is my purpose or what is my next step in life? And then other people, you know, at our practice, we welcome people with spiritual concerns and metaphysical interests too.
Yeah.
So what I would add to your list of tools is really cultivating a practice of gratitude. And I would say first understanding what that is and really like delving into that and doing some research and like, what does it mean to live in gratitude? And it takes a lot of intentionality. It takes effort because, you know, when we talk about gratitude, and I don't know about you, but growing up, I remember at Thanksgiving was probably the one time a year that we were prompted as children to say, I am thankful for.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And it's okay. And then the list is all these generic things, right? Yeah. Like I'm thankful for my dolly and my family, and I'm thankful for my dog. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the practice of gratitude and incorporating it into your day is really like moment by moment. And so it's not this generic, I am thankful for, right? Mm-hmm. It's I'm so thankful I had a day with less back pain today.
Yeah.
Which doesn't take away that you still have the back pain, but you're grateful for the fact that it was less. Or, you know, one of the things I like to do in the morning is I like to leave myself enough time for a slow morning where I can make my cup of coffee, even though I'm detoxing from caffeine right now, but normally make myself a cup of coffee and sit with my dogs and love them and just take not even 10 minutes in the morning. And so I'm sipping on this delicious coffee and I'm embracing how good it tastes and the smell and the sweetness and the blend of the flavors. Right. And so this, so what we're talking about now is also mindfulness. Right. And, you know, and I look around at these amazing little souls that are my dogs and I say, wow, I am so blessed to start my day this way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this sounds kind of fluffy, right? Or foo-foo, whatever people would like to call that type of thing. Yeah. But the important thing to recognize here is that in that way, you start to rewire your brain. From a physiological standpoint, you start to rewire the way your brain works and the way your brain thinks, which then inevitably influences how you feel. So this is how you start to reprogram your entire vibrational frequency over the course of time, so that you end up being in states of joy longer than you are in states of distress.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That totally makes sense. And that is something I do too. In the morning, I kind of just give myself some more time and just like to relax and like before the hectic day. And I mean, we live in Central Jersey. It's insane all the time with traffic and everything. But just before then, just like that silence and just that, and then me with my coffee too. Just
that quiet, the quiet of the morning is, And then in that moment, also just saying, I'm blessed to have this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing to think about is why is inner happiness important? So the only thing I could think of was if you're not happy on the inside, it'll show one time or another on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And that ties into what we were talking about earlier about, you know, what is your emotional state or suppressing your emotional state, that it's going to be part of your being. And I would say another layer to that is your state, right? So whether you're predisposed to being, you know, connected to inner happiness, inner peace in the way that we're describing, immediately brings me back to what we were talking about with regard to the mind-body connection, right? So you know, being in a state of chronic stress or sadness inevitably leads to disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, I mean, and we can go really far, and maybe this will be like another episode with regard yeah. to, you know, manifesting the life that you want.
Yeah, I love that.
Through the power of thought, you know, that's a whole separate conversation here. But, you know, at the very least, you know, inner happiness or the way we're using the term in this conversation is directly correlated to how healthy you're going to be and the longevity of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's plenty of studies to support that as well.
I want to talk to you all today about Goli gummies. They're the first ever apple cider vinegar gummy on the market, and they have so many beneficial properties with studies conducted to prove its positive benefits. Some of them include vitamin B9 and B12. It promotes general good health, it helps improve your daily health, and it's vegan, gluten-free, gelatin-free, kosher, and non-GMO. One of my favorite things about the Goli gummy is, unlike the apple cider vinegar shot, the Goli gummy completely masks that nasty smell and taste. Some other favorite things about the Goli gummy is the fact that it supports healthy digestion, weight management, reduces appetite, helps improve energy, and supports heart health. Everyone should have some Goli gummies in their life. So today I'm giving 5% off on your full order with promo code G Stillwell. And again, that's GSTILWELL for 5% off your full order. Promo code G Stillwell. It's simple, it's delicious, it's Goli. Okay. So I know a lot of people and a lot of viewers that listen to this, they all want to know the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely something that is not told a lot, but mm-hmm. we need to talk about finding a therapist and finding the right one for you.
Yes.
Or for the viewer.
Yeah, that's such a great thing to bring up. And, you know, what I hear often from our, you know, from clients that is that they have such a hard time, or, you know, they made a lot of phone calls and not a lot of people called them back. And, you know, I think the first thing I would say is understand that it is a process to find a therapist, because there's a lot of moving parts and components that need to fit, right? And, you know, I think you mentioned some earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing is understand that it's going to take a little bit. And if you have the idea that you might want to go to therapy, don't wait till things get really bad, because it's going to take some time to find A, someone who has availability, and B, someone that you feel good with, right?
Right.
And so understand that, you know, you're not going to make just one phone call. You might make 10 phone calls before you find someone that will have an opening for you. The other thing that I would advise people to do is, you know, if finances is a concern for you, contact your insurance company directly and ask specifically about your mental health coverage. And so a lot of people have in-network, which usually is, you know, what you would pay just a copay for. And some people have out-of-network coverage, which is nice, because in that way they can see a different therapist that's not in-network of their choosing and still have coverage for it. So it's good to have an idea of what is my coverage, what's the expense going to be for me? And then you can make a decision about, okay, do I need to stay in network because of what I can afford? Or, you know, do I just start researching people and then finally realize, oh, I can't afford this therapist, right? So it's better to kind of know what your plan is, what your coverage is, and what you can afford before you start on your search. Now, if you decide I need to stay in network, then your insurance company can give you a list of therapists to reach out to, right? And you can get them on the phone and be prepared to be on the phone for a while. So carve out some time to do that and take all the numbers down. Don't just take one. Take at least 5, 6, 7 numbers down. And also, I think it's 100% okay and appropriate to reach out to a therapist and say, I'd like a phone consultation.
Yep.
See how they feel on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like they're listening? Do you feel comfortable? What's the feeling that you feel in your body when you talk to this person? Do you feel reassured? Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel completely turned off? Because the thing about therapy is that, you know, the relationship that you have with your therapist is going to be the foundation with regard to essentially the entire process, right? And so right. How you feel about and with your therapist and their competency level is really going to impact your progress. So that's something that you are allowed to make a decision about 100%. There's some resources, and I guess, George, you can put them up on the podcast.
Yep, I'll put them into the description.
Yeah, so a really great resource is psychologytoday.com. That it allows you to do online searches for therapists based on location, insurance, and, you know, different filtering options that you can reach out to them via email or via phone. But what's nice is that they all have a little bio, and the bios also include what they specialize in. And so if you're drawn to, you know, maybe a male or a female therapist, you know, you start there, and then maybe you want someone that can do some of the things that we talked about today, like mindfulness or meditation. You can also filter out therapists in that way. And I would say the main thing is be patient, take your time, be selective. I know it can be frustrating, but taking your time with it is going to eliminate a lot of hopping around, and ensuring that you can establish a good rapport with someone and then start doing some of the work that you really want to do.
Right. And you can, because, I mean, I've had friends come up to me, it's like, oh, you know, I don't like my therapist. And I was just kind of like, you know, you can, like, you have other options. It's like you said, like having a phone call. Let's say you go through all that and now you meet with the therapist and you guys just aren't hitting it off. You just are not feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, you don't have to stay with them, correct?
100%. Okay. Yes, you can discontinue therapy. However, there are some things to consider. When you initially start therapy, that person is a stranger to you.
Mm-hmm.
So will it take some time to establish a rapport, trust, get them to understand your story? Is that going to be awkward initially? Probably,
yeah.
Because that's it's going to be different than any other relationship that you've ever had in your life, because it's not a typical social relationship. So some discomfort is 100% normal. Now, the other thing I would encourage people to do is, you know, if you're, you know, a few sessions in or six sessions in or whatever it is let the therapist know. You know, when I meet with a client for the first time, I say, you know, this is a team effort and we're going to work through this together. And if we're doing something or working on something that doesn't really feel like the right fit for you, or it's not effective, by all means, come and tell me so we can figure it out together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important that anyone in therapy understands that the therapist is not a mind reader, right? They're very skilled,
mm-hmm,
in what they've been trained to do. However, you're the driver. And, you know, the patient is the, and I'll say client instead of patient, is the driver, and the therapist is kind of like the navigation system.
Yep.
Right. And so if you have a friend that's, oh, I can't stand my therapist. Well, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could it be that he doesn't feel heard and maybe he needs, mm-hmm, to tell his therapist that, or maybe his therapist is challenging him in a way that he doesn't like to be challenged, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So we don't really know, right?
Yeah.
But
because,
you know,
usually if someone's figuring you out, the first thing I see from experience, for me, you want to run out the other, like you just want to run out the door and run away. And that's kind of something with therapy. And it's like, I see it as fun now, but there was a point in my life where I, you know, was running out the door because it's kind of that thing where it's like, oh my God, wait, like I'm being unmasked and like we're figuring out what's going on. And
And
now so, it's so fun to me.
Yeah. And so what I would say to that is if you're feeling unmasked or you're feeling like you need to run, then you need to tell your therapist that, you know, I think we need to stop here, or, you know, I think I've gone as far as I can go today.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, that's what I mean about taking that understanding that you have the power in that way. And not just you, it's all of us.
Yeah.
All of us who have been in therapy, and, you know, I've been in therapy as well. And it's very much on us to, you know, to want to figure it out with the therapist. And if it's moving too fast or it's a little too overwhelming, we can also say, I think I need to slow down.
Yeah.
And your safety is essential, right? So feeling emotionally safe in that space is one of the primary foundational things as well. That's really important.
Okay, so before we go, I have a quote of the week, and I love doing these every week. So this week's quote of the week is, being happy doesn't mean everything is perfect. It means you've decided to look beyond the imperfections. And that's kind of what we talked about today. So when I saw it, I just, I loved it, and I had to say it.
Yeah, it was a good fit for today.
All right, so thank you so much for coming on. It has been a pleasure. You are coming back on, as you teased a few times. So now you're definitely coming back, right?
Yes, it was so much fun. And I'm really grateful that you had me on today, George. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And where can people find you?
So they can find us at on our website. So it's www.awakenedpathcounseling.com. It's kind of long.
Yeah, I'll put everything in the description.
Okay, below. That makes it easier. Yeah. And our Instagram is awakened_path. And we are on Facebook, but I don't know that extension by heart. So I can just give you the link, I guess.
But
we're
that's
also
fine.
On Facebook. And yeah, you can always reach out to us. The website has a contact page. And we actually also have a lot of educational material on our website. And we have blogs that we write monthly as well with some really good guidance and resources if that's something that you're interested in. So feel free.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. And
right,
I hope this helped everybody and or at least gave some insight or, you know,
something.
It had to have. It had to have. So, all right. Thank you so much, Maria, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And I will see you next time. And thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in.
Thank you.